iPhone, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melts the clouds of sin and sadness.
Thank you for joining us for this program from the 9th Avenue Church of Christ in Hayleville, Alabama. We hope that you will subscribe and will share our program with others. Now, we take you to the service of the 9th Avenue Church of Christ.
We're going to conquer Jericho today. That's the plan. We're going to conquer Jericho today. And that's always a great story. It's a story that many of us, if you've been in church for very long at all, and set through Bible classes, vacation Bible schools, the story of Jericho is a story that is very familiar in so many ways and for so many people. But as I've kind of thought about it and looked at it and really tried to kind of put myself into this story a little bit, I can't help but think about Joshua. I can't help but think about Joshua as Joshua is taking over the nation of Israel as their leader and thinking about all the things that have happened over the previous 40 years and how different it would have been, had the people of Israel listened to Joshua and Caleb's report on the promised land. So if we go into Deuteronomy chapter 1, we see that starting in verse 19, then as the Lord our God commanded, we sent out from Horeb and went toward the hill country of the Amorites through all the vast and dreadful wilderness that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving you. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up, take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And so that's the call from God. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You're coming into this land that God is giving you. God has already gone ahead of you and has taken care of all of this. All this time in Egypt, we've crossed the Red Sea. We've been at the base of Mount Sinai. Now we're getting ready in the story to conquer the promised land. And Moses sends in 12 spies. And we've sung the song at Vacation Bible School, if you remember it. 10 saw what? Bad, and 2 saw good. And Joshua and Caleb come back and they're like, hey, we can do this. But the 10 spies, they just like, hey, no, there's no way. There's no way we can go in there. There's no way we can do this. And so what does God say? Since you don't trust me, you're just going to wander. You're just going to wander for 40 years, and a whole generation dies off. And now Joshua is back as the leader, back in a very similar spot, right? A very similar spot. And he's actually doing what Moses did back 40 years earlier in chapter 2 of Joshua. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies. And so he's sending spies out now. And don't you know, there's got to be some deja vu for Joshua here. There's got to be like, man, I've been here before. Don't you know that there may have been a little bit of him that was kind of nervous to send the spies out because he knew what happened last time spies were. I wonder if he had a really good heart-to-heart with these guys. Like, hey, remember what God has promised us. Remember what God has told us. We can do this. We can take this land. We have got this under control. And they go in and they, you know, everything's going to work out for the good, right? We know that. But Joshua is preparing now to go in and take the land that he knew that they could take 40 years earlier. But this time it's a little different for him. It's a little different for the people. And this is the first thing I think we learn from the story that we're going to read here today. And the first concept I want you to think about as we talk about this idea of gaining spiritual victories in our life, we have to understand that the battle is won by remembering who is in charge. The battle is won by remembering who is in charge. And this is the passage that we looked at a few weeks or last week. But I want you to think about this for a minute. How many of you a couple of years ago sat in... David, what was the coach's name that did the Wednesday nights on Joshua for Coach Mitchell? Did some Wednesday nights on the book of Joshua in the auditorium. They were some great classes, especially his Walls of Jericho. He did a great job describing and talking about how this city was built up on a hill, and there was this big, you can see it laid out, there's this big trench around it, and then there's like this base wall, and then a lower wall, and then an upper wall. So You know, to me, and I don't know about you, when I think about Jericho, my idea of Jericho comes a lot of times from Vacation Bible School and a bunch of brown boxes stacked on top of each other. You know, that's my idea of the wall. And the walls came tumbling down, right? But I mean, this is a huge, massive city that is just impenetrable. You know, like, you can't get in it at all. And as we look at the beginning of our passage here, I like this idea because I kind of see Joshua kind of, he's thinking, right? He's thinking. In verse 13 of chapter 5, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand." Now, if you read a lot of commentaries, you read a lot of scholars, a lot of guys read into this and kind of put this idea in there, and I think there could be some truth to it, that it's written in a way in the Hebrew that talks about, that gives the idea that Joshua is out kind of by himself. Okay, Joshua's out by himself, and he's looking at Jericho, kind of looking and seeing what's going on. He's maybe formulating his idea. He's thinking about, okay, we've crossed the Jordan River. We fixed that. We've done that. Now this is our next thing that we have to accomplish. And I think a lot of us have moments like that. Before we face challenging times, we tend to have reflective moments. And we think about what it's going to take. We think about what we've been through and how we've accomplished things in the past. And I think Joshua's having one of these moments. But then something interesting happens, right? And this is kind of what we talked about last week. And he says, "And I saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." You know, this kind of has a little bit of a reminiscent moment of Moses standing before the burning bush. That was what he was told by God in the burning bush of take your shoes off because the place you're standing is holy ground. And that just kind of tells me and makes me remember and reminds me of the statement that we start with, that the battle is won by remembering who is in charge. We love to live our life in a direction. We love to live our life in a way that makes us feel like we have control. But one of the things that Joshua probably realizes, he's standing looking at Jericho from a distance or even up close, wherever it might be. It would have been easier for him to look at that and go, "Man, there's no way I can do this. I'm not in control of this situation." Everything that's led up to this moment and continues to happen through this story, to me, really is a constant reminder of this statement that God is the person in control of this story, and something that we have to take in our own walk, that God is the person in control of our life if we allow Him to be, if we give Him that control. And when we give Him that control, then great things happen. We accomplish great spiritual victories. And so Joshua looks at this guy and he asks him, what does he say? Are you on our side or are you on their side? And his response is neither. His response is, I am on God's side. And I think that's a great reminder for us in our life, that we do not, and I think we're all guilty of this at times, that we have a tendency of taking God and saying, I'm on the right side of this, God, come join me. I'm on the right side of this, God, come join me. We do this in prayer sometimes. I heard a guy talk about this, and I've always carried it with me, and I thought it was kind of humorous, but it's true. How many of you have ever been in conflict with somebody? You know, you've been in conflict with somebody, and through that conflict, you've prayed for that person. Anybody ever done that? You've been in conflict with someone, and you've prayed for that person. How many of you have, in that prayer, have said this, God, I pray for Judd and the conflict we're in, and please help him see that I'm right and he's wrong? Have you ever prayed that way? Let him see that my side is right. And we have to be careful, because this walk with God, true spiritual victory comes not by saying, God, I'm doing this, come join me, but rather by saying, hey, God, you're in charge from the very beginning. And it's hard for us to let that control go. It's hard for us to let God have that type of true ownership in our life. But when we become His child, when we have our sins washed away in baptism, and we receive His Holy Spirit, we have to understand that at that point, we are surrendering ourselves to Him. And that there are going to be times that what I want and what God wants is going to conflict, but I have to give it up and say, God, I'm going to be on your side. Not ask you to join me. I'm going to join you. And when we do that, so many doors open for us to serve in great ways, for us to be blessed in great ways. I just love this passage because it reminds us that when God walks onto the scene, he doesn't take sides, he takes over. And that's exactly what he's going to do in this story. The battle is won by remembering who is in charge. And this, it kind of goes on, and he reminds Joshua of this, this commander of the army of the Lord. The next couple of verses, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. But then you kind of see the rest of this conversation. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." Again, I wonder if he has this reminiscent thought back to when he went in as a spy and God has promised, "I've given you this." How many times has he heard God say, "I've won this battle for you. I've won this battle for you. I've won this battle for you. I've already taken care of it." And now he's facing really the greatest challenge. And does he really is. He's going to lean into those moments and realize that God is in charge here and take him at his word. And realize that it's going to be okay. And I think we need to remember that. I think a lot of Christians get discouraged when they lose small battles in life. Because we're going to lose small battles in our life. But if we will take time and read the scriptures, one of the things that's promised for us and promised to us as his children is God's won the war. God has defeated Satan. We are on the winning side the minute we become children of God. Yes, there are going to be moments of struggle. There's going to be little skirmishes that take place that Satan's going to try to pull one or two of us away at a time. But listen, we are on the winning side, and we cannot lose our hope because we have moments of struggle. Realize that your spiritual victory is assured as long as you're walking with Jesus. And you can claim that. Because he said, "I have already delivered this into your hands," this journey, this battle with Satan. So that's the first idea here. The next thing here is God's methods are always right. God's methods are always right. This whole story is really built around ideas that are not logical, right? They're not logical. Let's look and see what the rest of the story, and many of you know this, so this is what he tells them. This is what God's instructions are. "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So God's methods are always right. But when you think about that, you've got this huge city fortified by 3 different walls probably. It's already said in verse 1 that the gates are shut. For many ancient cities, the city is only as strong as its front gate, because that's where most people are going to want to come in. That's going to be the greatest point of weakness. And it is shut up and nobody can get in and nobody can get out. And so what does God do? God goes, "Hey, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. For the next week, I just want you in the army, put my ark in front. The presence of God goes first, and we're just going to walk around this town. We're just going to walk around this city." And don't you know that when some of the military guys heard that, they thought, "What? We're just going to walk around? Like, that's all we're going to do. We're just going to walk around. That's it. Do we ever treat God the same way, though? Does God ever point us in a direction, call us into something and say, "Hey, this is how I want it to go. This is the direction I want you to go"? Do we ever pray about something? We pray for God's will, and when it comes about, we look at it and go, I don't think that's the best idea. I think we've all done that. We've all had moments where God has said, "Hey, just walk around Jericho. Just walk and understand that my methods are always right." But I think this happened for a reason. I think one of the reasons that they had to march around this city so many times is because I believe it became abundantly clear every time they made a circle around the city that they were not going to be able to accomplish this on their own. Nothing that they did, nothing that they had, no ability that they possessed was going to help them or give them the ability for winning this battle. And so what it did is it humbled them. It brought them to a place where they realized, the army, that they realized that, hey, only the power of God is going to win. Only the power of God will help us prevail in this moment. He goes on and he finishes this thought. He says, let me get to verse 6 here. He says, so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have the seven priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant, Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guards marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. I'm sure it was an intimidating scene, but it was also a scene of humility, of reminding the people of the Lord that you can't do this by yourself. Here's the next thing I think we see in this text. Sometimes the best way to hear God is to be quiet. Sometimes the best way to hear God is to be quiet. Let me ask you something. How many of you enjoy quietness? Just a few of you. How many of you get nervous in quietness? When it gets real quiet and there's really nothing going on, how many of you, like, you enjoy it for a minute, but then you're like, this isn't normal. Like, if I'm at the house by myself, it needs to be quiet, right? If I hear something about myself, I get nervous. But if I'm at the house and everybody's there, Tanner, you're with me, and it gets quiet, what does that mean? Something's happened. We've walked in, and kids have painted the furniture with craft paint. We've had kids paint the floor with fingernail polish, and that only happens when it gets really quiet. You get really nervous. But Scripture tells us over and over that we need to what? Be still and know that I'm God. Look at what he tells the army here. And this is an interesting idea. But Joshua had commanded the armies, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. Joshua got up early the next morning and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marched before the Ark. And this kind of is very repetitive. On the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. And they did this for 6 days. So not only are they marching around the city and seeing everything that's going on, but they're doing it in silence. They're doing it in silence. Imagine what that scene would have been, having this massive army marching around, but doing so in the most unusual way ever. They just march around your city quietly, and then they leave. And they show up the next day, and they march around your city quietly, and then they leave, and then they come back, and they do it again, and they come back, and they do it. You know, it had to create just this really strange kind of atmosphere that the people of Israel, you know, they're maybe growing more and more confident in God through the process, but I would imagine the people in Jericho, that they're getting more and more nervous because this is just a strange thing. This is a strange moment. You know, nobody really can tell or know what's going on, but it is so God's way. It is so God's way. Exodus 14 and verse 14 says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace, or you shall hold your quietness. David says, be still and know that I am God. In our life, when we're in the middle of struggle, when we're in the middle of challenge, when we're seeking a victory, a lot of times we tend to push harder, to work harder, to try to move faster. But many times God tells us, just sit down and be quiet. Sit down and reflect on the greatness of God. Sit down and remind yourself of the past victories that God has brought before you in your life through Him. Take time and remember how great God is. And we have a hard time remembering when we're moving so rapidly, when we're rushing through life. So let's take time to be still and know that He is God. Here's the last thing I want you to think about this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. Victory is ours if we don't quit. Victory is ours if we don't quit. If the people of Israel had marched around the city 5 times, what would have happened? Nothing. They'd marched around it six times. What would have happened? Nothing. Do you think that they maybe were getting a little nervous? Is anything going to happen? You know, because they're doing, he's like, hey, look, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and don't make any noise, don't do anything until I tell you to, right? You hear the sign, and they're waiting every time. Then they wake up on the last day. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Don't you know that, I mean, you go from these people marching around quietly to all of a sudden this commotion, this yelling, this screaming, these trumpets, and God himself shakes the foundation of this city until the walls crumble. But I think it's important for us to know, as great as this victory is, it doesn't come until God's time says it's time. How many blessings have we missed out on in life? Because our timing was different than God's. Because we gave God up until this point, and then we go, nope, it's not going to happen. I'm going to do it my way. Or I'm going to quit giving an effort. Or I'm going to put my effort in a different direction. Hebrews 11, verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. Sometimes our faith means we have to wait. Some of our greatest blessings come because of our patience with God. God's already answered the prayers. God's already put things in motion. We just have to catch up to those things and times in our life. We have to catch up to those answered prayers. And in those moments, it's hard. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to do the same thing over and over and think, man, this is never going to work. But then when God is ready for it to work, he puts it into action and victory comes our way. I want you to know this morning that victory is yours. But don't give up. You may be facing great challenges, but don't give up. You may think that it's never going to happen. You may think that there's no way that you can defeat whatever it is that you're facing. But to me, the greatest idea behind this story is don't give up. Because God is greater than you. God's ways are greater than our ways. And when we trust in the God that can shake the foundations of cities, then we will be assured spiritual victory in our own life. Let's close with a word of prayer, then the lesson will be yours. God, we thank you for the chance to be together this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to open up your word and to study and to come before you and to think about this great story just for a few moments and to be reminded of the spiritual victory that is in front of us in our own life. God, I don't know what everybody brought into the room this morning, but I know that every time we come together, someone's facing a spiritual challenge. Just give them the reassurance this morning, God, that victory is theirs to be had, that you're with them, that you're beside them, that you're in front of them. You're all the places, God. And let them find hope and strength in that. Help us. If we're living in our victory at the moment, God, help us to turn around and help those who might be struggling, to lift them up and to carry their burdens. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed.
Thank you again for joining us, and please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or our podcast. We can be found on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast provider. Also, leave us a 5-star review, which will greatly assist in getting the message of God's love and salvation to others. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to join us again, and until then, remember to love like Jesus. Man to man.